Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I found this a very interesting story. Rushed passengers left nearly $1 million in loose change at United States airports last year. And this all has to do with TSA. They left change around checking through the TSA, getting through security to get on the airplane. And this number has gone up a little bit over the last few years. In the year 2018, quarters, dimes, pennies, and nickels all added up to be $960,000. They took all the United States airports and they added all the airports together. They also found $85,000 in foreign currency. And you might wonder what they do with all of that money. Because I know when I'm moving through TSA, you want to get through as fast as you can. You want to make sure you have all of your belongings, and you want to make sure you have all of your shampoo, conditioner, and toothpaste as well. They take a lot of that. But there are a lot of loose coins that are all around the TSA people, whether it's from you leaving it there or whether it's from you being groped, like much like Diana Ross, by the TSA, and then the change just happens to come falling out your pockets.
Well, no, I don't know about that, because number one, you're supposed to take all that out of your pockets. If I'm hearing this correctly, and as you know, Mrs. Brewster and I just recently flew from here to Chicago, then by way of the Indy 500, flew from there to Chicago back here. Or no, drove to Chicago back. What am I trying to say? I got groped on a couple of occasions, and I'll tell you why. And despite the fact that almost all women, and now some men, have become anti-cargo shorts, I love cargo shorts. If you want to call them men purse shorts because of all the pockets, but I need all my pockets. So I was, simply for that reason, groped both here in New Orleans on the way up and in Chicago on the way back. But I travel probably with too much crap. Number one, I always forget that I'm going to have to take my shoes off. And so instead of just wearing loafers, something slip-on, you wear something with laces. Now you got to tie those back up. You got a belt, because I'm a belt person and need those to keep my cargo shorts up, because I have so much crap in my cargo short pockets. Then I have my laptop, and you can't have a laptop in the bag. Laptop's got to come out and go into a separate bin by itself. So I can see, and how I hear this is not change from people's pockets, but you empty out all your pockets, and then you're in a big hurry. You've got all the bus pans, as I call them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what they are. They're bus pans, like used in a restaurant for dirty dishes. And you're grabbing your belt, and you're grabbing your laptop, and you're grabbing your phone, and you're grabbing this, and you got that, and all that. And it's like, oh, there's some change there. Heck with it. Leave it. And that turns into millions and millions of dollars.
Flying in American airports post 9/11 is such a pain in the ass. It was so much more fun and so much better before 9/11.
You could
literally get dropped off 10 minutes before your plane. You wouldn't have to go through any of that. You could just walk from the curb,
right?
Literally right to walking onto the airplane.
I don't like it, but I don't complain about it. I call it a necessary evil. I think it's a little bit. I think it's a little bit ridiculous. I mean, I'm fortunate to fly with a seasoned traveler, and that is Mrs. Brewster, who has been all around the world multiple times. So she knows, you know, you've got to have this many, no more than this amount of ounces of shampoo, of mouthwash. It's got to be in its own separate zip baggie in your shaving kit. I said, well, we're going to Indiana. I want to go to a store and get those that brand of pickles that I like and bring back a couple of jars of those in my suitcase. And she's like, you can't do that. It's liquid. You can't.
No, because TSA sniffs pickles right out.
Well, and the other side is, if you're listening, you're thinking, well, you just check that stuff and it's not a problem. It goes in the cargo hold. We don't like to check stuff if we don't have to. It's just an expediency thing. Now, in about a month, we're going to go to London. And, of course, we'll have to check bags there on British Airways.
So in 2018, in American airports, loose change around TSA was $960,000, up from 2017, $869,000, almost $870,000. And that was up from 2016, $867,000. So it's going up, the change, the money people leave around airports when they're going through TSA. Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering what they spend that money on, because TSA people, they don't make much money. What do they make, 12 bucks an hour? Quote, TSA always seeks to make sure that all traveler property, including loose change, finds its way back to the proper owner.
Hmm.
However, when loose change does not, it will be directed to critical aviation security programs.
And you say that's air quotes around that, right?
Yeah, I think that means hot dogs and stuff for the TSA workers.
Pizza party every Friday. I don't know.
So I just found that interesting. And John F. Kennedy Airport up there in New York City, they had the most out of that $960,000. About $73,000 was found there.
I'm a few years older than you, five-ish, we'll say. Do you remember smoking on a commercial airliner?
When I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah, I actually...
Like the iron lung.
I'm I'm old enough that actually... You had to go in the back. You had to... smoking area was in the back. But yeah, puffing away on an airline. You can't even imagine something like that nowadays.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. All right, I'm putting something up on the. I just posted something on the Bayou Facebook page. A father was arrested and charged with domestic violence for teaching his son how to box. He made the video. He posted the video. People were outraged, and then he had to go turn himself in. A father arrested, charged with domestic violence because of the video. And all he's doing is teaching his teenage son how to box. He's not hitting the kid hard. He's teaching him how to box. He's boxing with his teenage son. This is incredible. Again, we're living in the day and age of every morning when someone wakes up, they look on the internet and they need to be outraged by something. And this was the daily outrage for somebody. A father teaching his son how to box.
How's the other guy look?
The kid's fine. The father's fine. The father was arrested, charged with domestic violence because of the video.
Okay. Because my next question was, who was witness to this that lodged a complaint? But it's a video, so someone saw the video. Obviously, the father was ID'd. They go get him.
Well, hang on, I'm getting all of these facts. I can't believe this. Go check it out at our Facebook page, our Bayou Facebook page. This is unbelievable. These charges will be dropped. These charges have to be dropped. The father isn't even hitting his son very hard. And it's interesting, in the video, the description in the video says, warning, graphic video. And this is from, who said that? The Fox affiliate in Washington, D.C. I guess this is where this came out of. The Virginia father, it says, who shot this disturbing video, turned himself in. He's teaching his teenage son how to box. That's what he's doing. And he decided to and he decided to make a video of it. I mean, there's a lot of kids out there that don't have fathers in their lives that could teach them things like boxing. And many of those kids end up taking guns outside at the house and shooting people. I think we're officially at the point now. I think we've already gone beyond the point of the ridiculousness of social media and what it's doing to people. Brewster, are you watching the video? Have you seen this? This father was arrested and charged with domestic violence.
Yeah, this is not. It's not exactly. Didn't exactly just happen. This story's got a little age on it.
Well, it's been going around social media now. Maybe right when it first happened. I can't believe it. Anyways, this is the day and age we're living in with social media. How a father can make a video of him teaching his teenage son how to box, and then he gets arrested for domestic violence over. It's incredible, absolutely. All right, yeah, go check that out on our Bayou Facebook page. And what do you think? I mean, absolutely unbelievable. So, as we're getting closer now, we're moving into the summer of 2019. There are a lot of people that are fired up about the 2020 presidential election. And right now, there's only one or two guys who have a chance to beat Donald Trump. Many political experts say that Joe Biden, the former vice president, who's right now at the top of the list of the 20 however many Democratic candidates who have thrown their name into the ring. But now Bernie Sanders, who in 2016, the senator from Vermont, and I don't even want to say borderline communist anymore. I mean, he's an admitted socialist, but let's face the facts. Socialists just say they're socialists because they're really communist, and people would look at him even funnier if they said that they were communist. Bernie Sanders is a communist. That's what he believes in. That's what he is. You know, and it's interesting. He has all of these grandiose ideas about people and how they should be. And when he's a senator from Vermont, probably one of the most unrealistic American states to live in. I mean, you talk about Wonder Bread. How many minorities live in Vermont? 12, 13? Yet Bernie Sanders, he's got the answers for everybody's problems when he lives in as unrealistic of a state in America to live in. But Bernie Sanders, and make no bones about this, Bernie Sanders got robbed in 2016. And he got robbed by his own party. His own Democratic Party, well, I guess that's the only party he could say he's with, because if we had a socialist party or a communist party in the United States, Bernie Sanders would say that I'm in that party. But if the Democrats didn't fix their own primary, because they wanted Hillary Clinton to win it, if they didn't rig that, Bernie Sanders would have beaten Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary, and he would have been the one who faced Donald Trump. And a lot of people think he would have beaten Donald Trump. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it would have been close, much like much like the battle between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Well, now Bernie Sanders supporters are fearing the same thing is happening with Joe Biden. That they're doing everything they possibly can to make sure it's Joe Biden who faces Donald Trump and not their guy, Bernie Sanders. They did the same thing in 2016. And people are saying that a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters are saying the same thing is happening now with the DNC. How they are backing Joe Biden like they backed Hillary Clinton. And they're doing that because they feel that Joe Biden has a better chance to beat Donald Trump than their guy, who, let's say, he's a communist. Bernie Sanders is a communist. That's what he is. He says he's a socialist. A socialist is only a couple of letters away from being a communist. And so some supporters of Bernie Sanders are saying they're seeing the same exact thing early on. The Democratic National Committee's treatment, the DNC's treatment of their guy. They're saying they're seeing the same thing now that they saw back in 2016. A few different Bernie Sanders supporters claim that the Democratic National Committee, the DNC leadership, is giving preferential treatment to Joe Biden. Could just take a look at the surge in the polls that Barack Obama's former vice president Joe Biden has. And they said this is exactly what they saw with Hillary Clinton 3 years ago. It was interesting. Wouldn't be pretty frustrating if your favorite candidate in your party was fixed against him. And now, some of the Bernie Sanders are saying, we're seeing it. Some of the Bernie Sanders supporters are saying, we're seeing it for the second time. They mistrust polls showing Joe Biden holding such a commanding lead over all of the rest. Now it's up to 23 candidates in the Democratic field. And the Bernie Sanders supporters are saying now that they may stage a revolt when the Democrats have their 2020 national convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they did the same thing in Philadelphia in 2016. They did the same thing, the Bernie Sanders supporters. They had a revolt at the Democratic convention. I mean, it didn't do too much. But this is what they're saying over there. I got to be honest with you. If things don't change in this country and this country stays the way it is right now, the economy with unemployment being historically low for everybody, talking black people, women, Latinos, nobody's going to have a chance to beat Donald Trump. Donald Trump will win very easy. If things don't change, if the economy in this country stays the way it is, if the unemployment numbers stay in this country the way they are, that's what people care about the most. And we're still a little ways away from that, but people, they got to start early. And I got a kick out of how a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters say they're watching the same exact thing happen now that happened 4 years ago. And I also get a kick out of how they call him a socialist. I guess that's the nicest thing you could call him. But deep down, Bernie Sanders is a communist. He believes in communism. That's him. That's who he is. You can go research this guy. You can go find interviews of this guy from the 80s and the 90s. I mean, he loved the Sandinistas. He's a fan of Cuba, Castro. I mean, we could go on, but that's who Bernie Sanders is. And the sad part is he was very close to being president of the United States. That's the sad part. So even if you're not a fan of Democrats or if you're not a fan of Hillary Clinton, maybe you should thank the Democrats, the DNC, the people that are at the top of the Democratic National Committee for forcing Hillary Clinton on America instead of Bernie Sanders. Because for whatever reason, you see, over, is it 41 or 42% of Americans believe in socialism in the latest poll? Many of them are young. But that's pretty scary. Usually when
how did the polls work out in the last election, though?
What's that?
How did the polls work out in the last election where Hillary thought she clearly was going to win?
Oh, not based only on Hillary.
Based on polling.
Every poll, every newscast, everybody on CNN, everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. But no, what I'm saying is we're lucky. I don't know if Bernie Sanders would have beaten Donald Trump. I don't know if he would have come closer than Hillary Clinton did, and it was fairly wasn't really that close when you start looking at it. But it's just scary when you see so you don't believe that 40 or 41 or 42% of Americans believe in socialism? You don't believe those polls?
I don't believe in polls in general, but I think based on what we saw last time around, it certainly bears looking at.
All right. Well, a bunch of Bernie Sanders supporters are upset. They're saying the same thing is happening now than that happened in the 2016 election, and they don't like what's happening to their communist or socialist, whatever you want to call them, candidate. Fascinating stuff. Coming up on the show, Delta Airlines is being sued by someone who was attacked by an emotional support dog on their flight. The dog wasn't acting very emotional, and he wasn't, well, a different kind of emotion. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Just read an interview with Slash, and he said Guns N' Roses, a few of the original guys. You got Slash, you got Duff, you got Axl. And I think that's all that's left for the original guys. They're working on a new album. He doesn't know exactly when it's going to be out, but they said they're working on something new. And this is the first time in, what, 25, 30 years that those guys are all working together on something? Appetite for Destruction, one of the greatest rock and roll albums ever made. And I was a big fan of The Illusions, too. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Although some folks say that if they only released one album, if they took the best songs off of Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2, they would have had another Appetite. But I was a big fan of both The Illusions as well. Hell, I love The Spaghetti Incident, the album that they did that were cover songs. I love that as well. So I don't know what new Guns N' Roses would sound like with those guys, but I look forward to hearing it. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about the emotional support dog that wasn't supporting emotionally the person that was sitting next to his owner on an airplane. That's next on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So this woman is suing, or this person is suing Delta Airlines. This Delta passenger needed 28 stitches because they were sitting in a seat right next to someone with an emotional support dog. And that emotional support dog lunged and mauled this guy's face. And the guy ended up needing 28 stitches. And it brings up a great question, because we're seeing these quote-unquote emotional support pets. We're seeing them everywhere. not just sitting next to us on airplanes. How about in restaurants? Have you seen any in restaurants? An attack on a plane by a fellow passenger's emotional support dog left Marlon Jackson needing 28 stitches, according to his lawsuit. And this lawsuit was filed last week against Delta Airlines and the owner of the dog. This was a Delta flight from Atlanta to San Diego. And the emotional support dog was sitting on the lap of the passenger right next to Marlon Jackson. And according to Jackson's lawsuit, the emotional support dog lunged for his face, pinning him against the window of the plane so he couldn't escape. And this brings up questions. Now, the owner of the dog is a Marine, and his name is Ronald Mundy. And the lawsuit says that this Marine should have known that his large animal was foreseeably dangerous. What do you think of people bringing these quote-unquote emotional support animals not only on airplanes, sitting next to people, but like I mentioned, I've seen them here in New Orleans in a few restaurants. I've seen them in bars with people bringing their dogs saying, hey, this is my emotional support dog. And they will tell you that they have the right to have these emotional support animals with them because of their mental illness. But if you're that mentally ill where you need a large emotional support dog with you all the time, should you be flying? Should you really be flying? Now, look, I have the utmost respect for our military. I respect and look up to no group of people more in our country than our military. As a matter of fact, on Monday when we were talking about Memorial Day, or was it on Tuesday? I had said that, the way...
If it was Monday, you were here by yourself.
The way people look up to actors and actresses and rock stars and music stars and celebrities, the way people idolize celebrity here in America, it's pretty ridiculous. If you want to look up to a group of people, why don't you look up to the military? I'm on record saying that. I've said that several times. But if this Marine needs a large dog to get on an airplane with because he needs the emotional support, should he be traveling on an airplane? I don't think so.
I don't think they're going to let you travel on an airplane with a giant brush that you like to paint every situation with. These people aren't, quote, unquote, mentally ill. There are people, and I have some friends who would qualify in this, that for whatever reason that you don't need to understand, and I don't need to understand.
I'm sitting next to him on a plane, I need to understand.
But you as a libertarian, no, not really. You as a libertarian would support their right to have this animal. Now, I would say it's much like air traffic in general, where they say, you know, your odds of having an incident, a catastrophic incident on a plane, are I won't say infinitesimal, but they are very small. Planes don't crash anymore. Planes very rarely crash anymore. We have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of daily flights. Now, in much the same way, you can take that microcosm, that template, and put that onto incidents that happen with support animals. Of course, you're going to hear when there's a tragic story like this and what is meant to be helpful to one person backfires for someone else, but I just don't think you really mean that these people are mentally ill and they shouldn't fly. If a support animal helps them assimilate and fit in, why do you want them to sit at home?
Brewster, I can't bring my pet
I'm not mentally ill. It's not a pet. It's not a pet.
Say it.
Well, they're not mentally ill.
Well, then
well,
why?
No, I think you are mentally ill. That's a whole different
category.
Then
why are they allowed? Look, this isn't.
But it's not a pet. You can't say service animal pet.
This is one of numerous reports in the past few years of emotional support. Of emotional support animals causing trouble for airline passengers.
What's the answer then? Should they all just stay home?
Well, why does
no,
that...
No, you can't answer a question with a question.
Slow down here.
Should they all just stay home?
Yes.
So they should stay home and not be able to...
You're sitting next to a dog that just bit your face. You would say the same thing.
I probably would, but the odds of that are very small. You're talking about a number, whatever the number is, of incidents over years. It's not like it happens every other flight.
Delta is not commenting on this because the litigation is pending and they don't comment on litigation that is pending. But in a statement, Delta said they continuously review and they said it continuously reviews and enhances its policies and procedures for animals on board as part of its commitment to health, safety, and protecting the rights of customers with disabilities. Brewster, this is where you're taking the 1% and putting it ahead of the 99%. The 99% of us that don't travel with dogs on airplanes.
Okay, well, then they can just stay home. There, problem solved.
This is the day and age we're living in. Where this never would have happened a few years ago.
But as a libertarian, you were actually going to say that they should stay home. They should not have the right to, even though the odds are small, you know, you could go to...
I don't know what bringing an airplane on a commercial flight has to do with my political party, with being a libertarian.
You mean bringing an animal, not bringing an airplane.
I don't know what bringing an animal on a commercial flight has to do with me being a libertarian, Brewster.
It is...
99% of us can't bring animals on flights.
But as a libertarian, I'm thinking that you should support their right to bring an animal on an airplane. If that animal, in fact, is what they need to assimilate and live the life that they want to live. You want to live the life you want to live, but you don't want others to. You want 600-pound people to just sit and be on TV shows from their homes. You don't want them to actually get help. You just want to sit and look at them.
Am I wrong? What does that have to do with the airplane?
Am I wrong?
My 600-pound life is a damn entertaining show, and it's a show of hope.
Yeah, and we don't think we really believe that's why you watch it, but okay.
Yes, it's entertaining watching a 600-pound person trying to get out of bed and trying to get out of their front door. Yes, that's entertaining. It's also entertaining watching a 600-pound person trying to get help. What does that have to do with the service animal dog biting someone in the face on the airplane? Why all of a sudden, when were people ever allowed to bring dogs, large dogs, on airplanes before? When were they ever allowed? Until recently.
Well, things do change, you know. Things do change. Things do evolve.
So that's evolving. Bringing dogs onto airplanes is evolution. That's
well, again,
we're progressing.
Again, we'll have them all stay home, and then problem solved. What do you want? How do you want this to happen? You want all animals banned from all.
I brought up
flights.
A story. I brought up a story, and you threw a wall into the middle of this story while I was telling the story on the show.
Okay.
You just put up a wall.
No, I'm just trying to use your logic to show you how it doesn't. You want to wave the libertarian flag for certain people, but not for others.
You and your wife just flew to Chicago. What if a dog was sitting next to you and bit you or your wife in the face?
Well, that would be awful. What are the odds of that happening, though?
Greater than the plane crashing.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I would have to see that. I see a lot better than I hear.
Commercial flights do not crash. They just don't crash. People get attacked by emotional support animals more on airplanes than airplanes crash. So do I have an exact answer what to do? All I did, Brewster, was bring up a story about how this guy got bit in the face on a Delta airline by a Marine who had a service, an emotional support dog with him. And now the airline and the Marine are getting sued. And then I just happened to say, maybe if this guy needs a dog to fly across the country, maybe he shouldn't be flying. That's all I said, Brewster.
Well, I was here. I heard you.
What is the answer to this?
I don't know.
I'll give you an answer.
Okay.
I'll give you an answer. The plane can't be sold out, and you need two extra seats for someone who brings a service, an emotional support dog, so nobody else can sit next to them. And the airline's not going to want to do that because that's going to cost them one or two seats that they can't sell.
Why can't you muzzle an animal that is? You can't make it a. You'd have to make it an across the board thing. So all dogs. All service dogs must be muzzled. There.
Well, they got to come up with something because you can't, because 99% of the people that don't need emotional support dogs to fly across the country, to fly in an airplane, they shouldn't have to deal with this. And look, and you're not going to find a bigger animal lover and dog lover than me. I love them. But it's not a good business model when someone gets bit in the face by an emotional support dog on an airplane. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Tom Petty's widow and two of his daughters, they are suing each other big time in court. I guess one of the daughters wanted to put Tom Petty's face on everything, like Paul Newman's, you know, Newman's Own, the salad dressing and the spaghetti sauce and all of that. Because at least the Paul Newman's money, that all goes to charity, 100% of that money.
At least Paul Newman was a handsome man. I don't know about Tom Petty.
One of his daughters wants to do that with him, and now his wife is saying that'll ruin his legacy. His widow is saying that. They are fighting bad in court over his estate, which is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, by the way. Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next! On Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. You know, Brewster and I got into a little argument, and it's a very valid discussion about a story of how a Marine's emotional support dog on a Delta flight out of Atlanta, his dog ended up biting the guy sitting next to him in the face, and now the guy is suing not only the Delta Airlines, but he's suing the Marine. And look, I love Marines, I love our military, I love animals, I love dogs, but what do you do in this situation here? And I just wondered if this guy, if he needs an emotional support dog to fly on an airplane, should he be flying? I mean, what do you do for all of the other people who are on the air flight and they're on the airplane and what about their safety? That's all. And then I brought up the emotional support dogs, who I see sometimes in restaurants here in New Orleans. I don't want to see other people's dogs around restaurants, in restaurants, when I'm trying to eat. Again, I love dogs.
But there's an easy solution there, and you just walked right into it. Don't go to that restaurant. Let the marketplace decide. If enough people don't want those animals in there, then they'll shut their doors, or it'll be full of nothing but service animals.
That's fair.
That's very easy.
But the airplane, what do you do in that situation? I mean, should the airline be forced to leave a seat or two seats open next to the person that needs the emotional support dog so this kind of thing doesn't happen? Don't they need to put all of their passengers' safety? Isn't that the most important thing?
You can text us at 260-9595. Some of you will have better success with 504. 260-9595. Standard data and message rates apply. Try to keep these down to, this is, we don't, the interface here is not like Twitter. So if you send something that's 100 characters, it's going to take me four paragraphs to try to put them together. So just
keep them short
and sweet, yeah. If you can. Got a variety of things here. I like this one. Osterlin showing his stupidity. 99% of people don't fly with dogs, and over 99% of support dogs don't bite people. There's a couple on here taking me to task. It's a slippery slope. There, I just made that up. But yeah, if you text us, and we wish you do, try to keep them real short, one or two lines.
And when did airplanes and restaurants all of a sudden start letting quote unquote emotional support animals along for the ride? Is this something new? Because this
Yes. People who heretofore have been unable to, whatever it is, and you're not learned on it, and neither am I. But these people with the comfort of an animal with them, they are able to not have a panic attack sitting in a restaurant where you just sit there and eat your food. Not everyone is like you. I know your ultimate dream is to have everyone like you.
Stop talking like that. Stop talking like that.
But there are people who, you know, there's a great meme going around the internet. Everybody is walking a walk that you have, everybody is fighting a demon that you have no idea about because they don't tell you. And so it's a way for people to feel more, it's a way for people to feel more comfortable in settings that you take for granted. I don't know how else to get the light to go off in your head as to why that is.
Hey, Brewster, I'm dealing with issues that nobody knows about, most people don't know about, too.
Well, but get a dog. I hear it works.
Well, look, everybody's got different issues. But where do you draw the line? Well, that's all. When it comes to these emotional support, well, dogs on planes and in restaurants.
You're being a little too black and white. There isn't necessarily a line that needs to be drawn, and I don't think since you're not walking that walk, you don't even get a crayon.
Now if I'm sitting on an airplane, I get a crayon if a dog is sitting next to me. I get a crayon. All right.
Can we get you a muzzle? My God.
All right.
We got to move.
Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment.
Well, now I broke it.
Why we today call... doesn't suck?
No, not that
suck.
One. It's this one.
Why today doesn't suck?
We're going to have a stroke here.
May 30th. Well, today was the day Andrew Jackson won a duel way back in 1806.
Why today doesn't suck?
In Logan County, Kentucky. Not only future president, but future hero of the War of 1812 in New Orleans, Andrew Jackson participates in a duel, killing a guy named Charles Dickinson, who was a lawyer regarded as one of the best pistol shots in the area. How about that? The proud, volatile Andrew Jackson, a former senator and representative of Tennessee, called for the duel with the lawyer. He didn't like, I think this was the story when the lawyer said something about Andrew Jackson's wife. He called for the duel after his wife, Rachel, was slandered as a bigamist by Dickinson, the lawyer.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
Who was referring to a legal error in the divorce from her first husband in 1791. Yeah, divorce in the 1700s was not looked at very positively. And so this lawyer said something about Jackson's wife, and when she was in a divorce, and Jackson said, yeah, let's go, you and me, out in the street. We're going to duel, get your gun. And Andrew Jackson luckily won. Because if he lost that duel, he wouldn't have been around for the War of 1812.
Man, that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
May 30th. It was today in 1997.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Neil Young canceled his European tour because he cut his finger opening
the high E on his guitar.
Well, no, after...
You know, he plays... He plays 8.5. Most of us either play 9s or 10s. This is guitar nerd speak with Brewster. He plays 8.5s, and they're very thin, and I don't know.
Well, he had to cancel his European tour because he sliced his finger while he was slicing a ham for a ham sandwich.
I don't see that part. Well, it does say that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
How about that?
It was on this date, May 30th, in the year 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
This guy had some influence on, in a era of, not really an era, what am I trying to say here? In the formation of Led Zeppelin, and I heard this in a Jimmy Page interview, he had his eye on a particular singer whose name is going to come to me or not before seeing Robert Plant and John Bonham in a club, probably in or near Birmingham. But remember that Jimmy Page said this, whoever the singer was, he said... You know, we had an eye on whoever it was, Jim Bob Louie, and lo and behold, he had just signed with Mickey Most. Mickey Most is the one who died, producer of such artists as The Animals and Jeff Beck and Hermits. He died of cancer on this date that year. He was just 64 years old. On this date, May 30th, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
Paul Simon marries Edie Brickell. But none of the new Bohemians, just her. They had a private civil ceremony at their home in Montauk, New York, on Long Island. I believe they are still married, if I'm not mistaken.
I think when she married him, it pretty much ended her musical career. Did she do anything after that?
Well, yeah, she does. She did in one of the Broadway plays that Steve Martin did. She either helped write or co-wrote it. She does a lot of... things that aren't for the musical mainstream. And of course they had that one big hit with Where I Am. It was on this date May 30th. This is big in Beatles news. On this date 1968.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Beatles began recording their eponymous album. It says self-titled here, but I like to use 25 cent words on occasion. Their eponymous album, or as you know it, the White Album, at Abbey Road Studios in London. One of the great albums of the 90s, my opinion. If you don't like it, well, up yours. On this date, May 30th, 1992, the Black Crowes debut at number one on the Billboard 200 album chart with a Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. It spent just 1 week at the top of the chart, but 92.
Why today doesn't suck.
But it has, it's been near the top of my CD stack for ever since then.
Yeah,
great album.
One of the great rock and roll albums of all time. In my opinion, the best Black Crowes album. It was their second album. And in my opinion, the Black Crowes have been pretty much a forgotten band.
Largely. And I think part of that is a bit of a self-destructive nature. Right up against the edge by Chris Robinson, maybe. And a lot of people say that... She Talks to Angels is their best slow song. No. It's Thorn in My Pride. Google it and put it on YouTube and enjoy.
Yeah, the Black Crowes second album, the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. I think one of the great rock albums of all time. I really do.
Birthdays today, I have one. If you remember him, he had one hit, the name of which I can't even say on the air. Happy birthday. Turning 45 today is CeeLo Green. You put that together with his name, with his song title, and you know why I can't say it.
Yeah, he was in Gnarls Barkley, and he got in trouble with maybe doing something with women he shouldn't have.
Ah, that's why he went away.
Yes.
Haven't heard much from him.
Yeah. And finally, it was today in 1978.
Why today doesn't suck.
Led Zeppelin! They walked into the studio for the first time to record their final album, Enter the Outdoor. And I interviewed John Paul Jones, the bass player. He did most of that album. At that point, in 1978, he could barely get Bonham and Page. He could barely get them Plant into the studio to record. And John Paul Jones did most of that, and he put that together. And for a last album, it was a pretty good album.
It's a very keyboard-heavy album. Yeah. In fact, a lot of the treatment on Jimmy's guitar in many of the songs sounds almost like... now they're called like guitar synthesizers or whatever, but very much so. Greatest album, your favorite song on that album, go?
The first song.
In the Evening.
Yes.
Mine would be first song, side two, Caras Alhambra. Great song, love that.
There you go.
And it's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about this woman that went to Walt Disney World, and she is suing them. And we will tell you why, and I think this is a pretty frivolous and ridiculous lawsuit. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So one of Martin Scorsese's daughters is making headlines. Her name is Catherine. She's 53 years old, and her last name is still Scorsese. I don't know if she's been married or not. I don't know, whatever. But I guess if I was a woman and my last name was Scorsese, I'd probably keep it too. But the reason why the 53-year-old daughter of Martin Scorsese is making news, she lives in Brooklyn, New York, and whoever lived in the apartment above her had toilet problems, and it leaked into her place, and she's having some flooding issues and some problems. The reason I'm bringing this up, she set up a GoFundMe on Facebook, and she's asking for people. Her father is worth over $100 million, but 53-year-old Catherine Scorsese, the oldest daughter of Marty and his first wife, she's asking for donations. She's got a GoFundMe to help fix her plumbing problems in her Brooklyn, New York apartment. She said she doesn't ask her 76-year-old father, Martin Scorsese, for money. She goes, quote, "I am not a trust fund baby. If I'm going to ask my dad for something, I'm going to ask for something like helping to fix me up with Chris Evans," unquote. She said of this actor who stars in the Captain America movie.
That would be cheaper.
Yeah, she said, this was something I need to do, and I don't think I need my father's help for this. No, you don't need your father's help. You need Joe Sixpack's help. You need the average working person's help.
No, she needs help from our friends at Harold's Plumbing. You know, when we have plumbing problems, that's the only name we know.
Yeah, Harold would take care of that.
Can he does he do satellite work like that? Long Island?
So far.
I'm sorry, Brooklyn?
The last time I checked, she has raised $6,035 on the GoFundMe. Actually, $6,055. Another $20 just came in. She's asking for a handout.
Let's give till it hurts.
She's asking for a handout. What's wrong with this woman? Could you just call up your father and say, could you fix my plumbing problems, or at least the person upstairs' plumbing problems, so they don't keep flooding my apartment and leaking into my place?
I'm just going to set up a GoFundMe for one of those guitars from David Gilmour's 125 or whatever it is that he's auctioning off at is it Christie's or Sotheby's?
That is a cool auction.
Yeah. I'm going to set up a GoFundMe. Let's give till it hurts. Brewster needs a guitar.
Well, that's much cooler than Martin Scorsese's daughter begging the public for $30,000 in a GoFundMe so she could help fix her flooded Brooklyn, New York apartment. The gall, the stones of some people.
That's right.
All right, coming up next, I think this is a ridiculously frivolous lawsuit that is happening at Walt Disney World. We'll tell you all about it on Bayou 95.7.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. I think we are getting desensitized to things. Yesterday, I'm watching a man light himself on fire in front of the White House on the internet. And they showed it. And there he was burning. It was just like the Pink Floyd album cover. There was the guy on fire in front of the White House. And I'm like, whoa, cool, man. And then I went on to something else. It was as if it didn't even...
Update on that story. I believe he died.
Did he? Now, that guy's got issues. But yesterday, just going through the internet, just going from one site to another, and there I was. I'm on Facebook. Oh, look at that. There's a guy on fire outside the White House. And then I just went on to something else, and I was reading about somebody's dog who bit somebody. It's wild, the times we live in. So, yesterday on the show, I told you how disappointed I was in the Louisiana State Legislature because they dropped the ball when it came to legalizing professional and college sports betting here in the state of Louisiana. It's something that they should have done. They couldn't get it done last year. They couldn't get it done this year. And the reason why they couldn't get it done this year is the bill by Denny Martini, a friend of the show. He's a Republican state senator from Metairie. And his bill that would have, if it passed, it would have legalized sports gambling here in Louisiana in 20 casinos, like Harrah's here in New Orleans, and 20 casinos. And it easily passed the state senate, but it didn't get out of the House Appropriations Committee. They voted 16-4 to shelf it, to say no to it, because the people that voted no in the House Appropriations Committee against legalized sports betting here in Louisiana, they voted no because it was only good for 20 casinos in Louisiana. Martini's bill, it would have allowed legalized sports betting in 20 casinos here in the state of Louisiana. And the people that were unhappy about that were the people that own video poker machines, people at racetracks that own video poker machines, people in bars, backwoods bars that own video poker machines. They wanted people to be able to go into their establishments and legally bet on professional and college sports. And what I said yesterday on the show, I said, well, they could have easily passed the bill, said, look, this is the first year of this. It's going to be in 20 casinos. And then if more people, if the people that own the video poker machines and their bars and their racetracks and their places, if they want legalized sports betting to happen in their places, well, they could look into that for next year. But instead of doing that, it just got shelved. And we're losing money. And like I said on the show yesterday, this is money, millions and millions and millions of dollars that would have gone to education, that would have gone to our children here in the state of Louisiana. And I'm not saying it would have fixed education. It wouldn't have taken us out of 50th or 49th in America, where we are every year in education here in the state of Louisiana. But it would have helped. It would have definitely helped. And you look at the states like New Jersey, states like Mississippi, that have legalized betting on professional sports and college sports. The millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars they're making is something else. And now people in Louisiana are going to have to go give their money to Mississippi when football season starts. We dropped the ball there. But you know what they did do in Baton Rouge? We will now have signs on Interstate 10 that welcome to Who Dat Nation. They are doing that. Isn't that something? Louisiana's welcome signs along Interstate 10 will soon celebrate the New Orleans Saints. And when we've talked about this the one time before on the show.
Oh, wait a minute. They're taking down the signs that say, welcome to pothole heaven?
Mm. The one time we did talk about this issue on the show, we did say that this would cost the taxpayers $0 and cents. This will cost the taxpayers. This is what they say in Baton Rouge. This will cost the taxpayers no money. Lawmakers agreed. I-10 welcome signs at the Texas and Mississippi state lines should declare people have entered the home of the Who Dat Nation. The Senate vote was 35-0. It gave final passage to the bill by New Orleans State Senator Wesley Bishop. It also calls for the Saints appreciation language to be included on the Superdome exit sign and on I-10, Interstate 10, in downtown New Orleans.
What does that mean? Saints appreciate. What is that?
That it means that that sign, welcome to the Who Dat Nation, will be there.
Be there, too.
Put it up there.
Well, good.
Like, as long as it costs the taxpayers no money.
Right.
To me, that's the most important. But here's something else. The House added an extra provision to the bill designating Highway 90 from Lafayette to Raceland as the Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco Highway in honor of Louisiana's former governor. So, again, look, if that one, if it doesn't cost any money is the biggest issue. But what if you didn't like Governor Kathleen Blanco? And if you live in between somewhere along Highway 90 in between Lafayette and Raceland, now you're going to have to drive by every day and see the signs that say, you are now officially on the Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco Highway.
That's not how those signs are written. That's not the verbiage that's put up.
Well, the
I'm sure you could find an alternate route. Well, listen to young Josh, who does our traffic, and he'll find you an alternate route. Just listen quickly, because he talks very fast.
Well, along Highway 90 from Lafayette to Raceland, you will see signs that say this is the Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco Highway. And much like now, when you enter the state of Louisiana, whether it's from Mississippi or from Texas, and when you drive through New Orleans and you're right there by the exit that you get off of to go to the Superdome, you will now see home of the Who Dat Nation signs. Well, and I know a lot of people probably like that, and I think more people like that than don't like that. And again, as long as it doesn't cost the taxpayers money to put those signs up, I'm fine with it. I don't care. I'm fine with a little bit of pride. The Blanco thing, though, I don't know about that. Because if you lived along there, and again, you were no fan of that particular governor, and now you every day and every night, every time you drive on the road there, you're going to have to see, hey, you are now on the Kathleen Blanco Highway.
Well, I gave you the solution. Just don't go that way.
It's interesting.
Or challenge your representative to, you know, bring up legislation the next time around to, I'm very black and white. So if you're listening and you don't like that, I mean, your remedy would be to get your lawmaker to change it. Start a petition. I don't know if it's practical to boycott that section of roadway. I said that facetiously, but
I'll tell you, them doing this and not being able to get the sports gambling bill done, that bothers the hell out of me.
And other things that are on an everyday basis are even more important than that.
Sure.
I mean, you really don't need any kind of you really don't need. There are certain areas of the interstate where you don't need a welcome to Louisiana sign or Bienvenue Louisiana, because you can just see the difference in the roadway, the deterioration of the roadway. You can see where they know to stop in Mississippi, stop paving the roads. Oh, must be the state line. And that's not a surprise.
Well, look, the legislative session in Baton Rouge is almost over. They go up there for, what, 3.5 months every year, all of our state reps, all of our state senators, to legitimize why we vote for them. And they still haven't gotten a budget done yet. This abortion thing is now they've done the same thing that Mississippi's done. And if it becomes legal in Mississippi, it will be legal here in New Orleans, in the entire state of Louisiana when it comes to abortions. After 6 weeks, the heartbeat bill, no more abortions. So they got that done, but they weren't able to get, hey, we can legally bet on professional and college sports, and that money would go to education. where every year in Baton Rouge, they always say, hey, we need more money for education. We're cutting from education here. We're cutting education there. Here's a perfect example of where we could get millions and millions and millions of dollars to help fund education in Louisiana, where we're pretty much last in America every year when it comes to the 50 states. But they could not get that done because too many other people want to make money off of the legalized sports betting. And those are all the other places, the racetracks, the bars that have the video poker machines. They want to be able to have you walk into their places and legally bet on the Saints or LSU.
I have never bet on a collegiate nor professional sports team, to my knowledge. So I can't really. I can't really, because of that reason, I can't really have an opinion about it. But it scares me. Me personally, because of being having the addictive nature that I have, I think I would get hooked on it. I really do. I really think I would get hooked on it, on sports betting. So probably for me, it's a good thing that it didn't pass.
It's a lot of fun. And you just have
to
be smart. I'm
afraid of that because I like fun.
Yeah, you just have to be smart with any with every other aspect of your life. You just have to be.
I'm a fun-liking guy.
And you know who's a professional sports gambler?
James Holzhauer.
The greatest player to ever play the game of Jeopardy. He won again last night. Now he's getting into a little bit of a Twitter beef with the guy who he's about to surpass, Ken Jennings, who forever was the greatest Jeopardy player, but James Holzhauer is about to pass him as the greatest player of the game Jeopardy in history.
He is a little bit arrogant.
Stay tuned for that.
In watching the last three or four nights, he's starting to just, he's smirking, he's doing inappropriate gesturing that, and I don't mean inappropriate as in indecent, and just inappropriate, like making the game, making every time the camera is on him, in every transition with his conversations with Alex, superfluous to the gameplay itself, he's making it about him. James Holzhauer is becoming a little bitch. There,
wow.
There, I said it.
I'll never turn on my boy. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Last night, James Holzhauer won his 30th game on Jeopardy. He is now less than $200,000 away from breaking Ken Jennings' all-time Jeopardy record of $2.5 million. He'll probably... Let's see. He wins tonight, tomorrow, probably Monday or Tuesday. He will break the record and about half the shows that Ken Jennings did it. He wins a lot more money per show than Ken Jennings did. And I know some people are giving him crap on social media. Even Brewster, if you're just joining us, said he's noticing that James Holzhauer is getting a bit arrogant.
Well, hang on a second. I mean, it went around social media that people thought he was getting arrogant, and I said no, I don't think so. But in the most recent shows, the last three or four shows, he is. He's just getting snarky.
Don't be tired. I would probably be, too, if I was about to win $2.5 million on Jeopardy.
I think you're snarky enough, isn't it?
Oh, stop it. All right. Coming up next, I got to get to this crazy Disney lawsuit. Stick around on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. In case you're just joining us, we a couple of interesting discussions we've gotten into this morning on the show, and you're free to tell us how you feel. Please, if you want to text us, please keep it short, and you can text us at 504-260-9595.
Standard data and message rates apply. Would you like me to just tie up some loose ends here? Some of the messages that we've gotten in response to the legislature okaying funding to have that stretch on Highway 90 become the Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco Highway. Is that what it, it's?
That's yeah, what it from is? From Lafayette to Raceland.
Okay. Eric says Kathleen Blanco signs, Who Dat Nation signs. We talked about that as well. Gee, I don't know. Seems mad gay, yo.
No,
great show. Great show, guys. Hmm. Someone else, a couple of people brought up the Moriah Convention Center. I mean, does that name, if you were not a fan of Mayor Mark Morial, or would that keep you from using that facility? You may not have call to use that facility, but let's say that you attended, I don't know, Comic-Con or one of those things there. Would that keep you from attending, just having that name on there?
Yeah, because we were talking about how not only the Louisiana legislature said it's okay to have Welcome to Who Dat Nation signs on the interstate as you're coming into Louisiana, whether it's from Mississippi or from Texas. And they said they approved that, and that's not going to cost the taxpayers any money.
Right.
That was my biggest issue, but I don't have a problem with the signs if it's a little bit of pride, if it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money. But one other sign was the Kathleen Blanco sign that would be on the interstate in between Lafayette and Raceland. And I said, boy, I bet you there are some people that don't like that didn't like her as a governor that don't want to have to see that every day when they're driving down the highway.
Right. Tex says, Highway to Nowhere, just like our term. She's got some health difficulties right now. On the topic of sports gambling in Louisiana, which was voted down. So John Osterling thinks the money from gambling should go to the state and not small business owners. Yeah, I know that's not what he meant, right?
Well, if sports gambling was legalized here in Louisiana, which it should have been, but they dropped the ball again, which we've talked about on the show in Baton Rouge, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that would come in for that, a bunch of that money would go to education, because we always hear how we got to cut education, we're last in education in the country, education this, education that. Again, it wouldn't fix it, it would help it. That's where they said that a bunch of those millions and millions and millions of dollars would go. Sure, would I like to see small businesses helped as well? If we had an overflow of money, absolutely. I mean, I'm someone who owned a business before. And yes, Brewster, the building, the bar is still standing in Miami Beach.
Smoldering, you mean.
The physical building is still there.
And one more here. And we're going to be talking about this coming up a little bit later in the show. The story about the service animal who attacked a passenger on a Delta flight. This text says, the idea of emotional, and I didn't really want to have the discussion about whether or not they should be. This was specific to that particular animal attacking that particular passenger on that particular plane, but it got into the larger yes or no question. Text says, the idea of an emotional support dog is ridiculous. I love dogs. I have dogs. I've always had dogs. They should not be allowed in restaurants or airlines. Yeah,
and that's what we talked about in this story. A guy is suing Delta Airlines because 2 years ago he got on a flight from Atlanta, and he was sitting next to a Marine with an emotional support dog. That dog bit him in the face so bad, he bled so bad that they had to change the seats. And
we got more on that coming up in a bit.
Yeah, and I just wondered. To me, that's a legitimate lawsuit, at least that guy has against Delta Airlines and the Marines. Here's a lawsuit that I don't think is legitimate. A woman is suing Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, because when she was at Disney World, this is what it says in the lawsuit, a bird dive-bombed her. A woman is suing Walt Disney World Resort after she said she was dive-bombed by a bird sustaining severe head and neck injuries. Her name's Lisa Dixon, and she said she was attacked. This was 2 years ago as well, in 2017, while walking on a dock along Seven Seas Lagoon. The lawsuit, which is seeking damages exceeding $15,000, claims that Walt Disney World was aware of the potential hazards from seasonal nesting birds that are nearby, but that Walt Disney World failed to warn guests. So this woman was at Disney World, and a bird attacked her. She said she was, quote, dive-bombed, unquote, by a bird. Her attorney said the bird hit his client's head with the force of a baseball, resulting in a traumatic brain injury
and, to the bird,
and herniated discs in her neck. Now, this is to his client, and it doesn't even say what happened to the bird.
Well, I was mistaken in hearing. I thought dive-bombed there was being used euphemistically for the bird doing its business, dropping.
Dive-bombed. I thought that first. Okay, you get hit with a little bit of bird nonsense. Okay, that's
and
one
boy,
thing.
I've had that happen. That's just awful.
But, Brewster, this lawsuit says that Disney should have been responsible. They should have known and warned everybody who goes there, watch out, there might be birds that are heading towards you. Beak up, heading towards you. I'm not talking about the other way, dive-bomb.
Right.
And this woman needs surgery, and now she's suing Disney. And
but when you go to an outdoor, are we headed toward a world where everything that you do, that the confines of which, I guess that doesn't make sense, if the boundaries of which, all right, if you go to an outdoor fun place, is the onus upon the owners, in this case Disney, to put up a sign on every possible thing that can happen?
That's where we're heading.
I think it is with some of these ridiculous, frivolous lawsuits. It's crazy. You go outside and you have probably a reasonable expectation not to get hit with a meteor, I guess, but you might get hit with bird poop. You might have a bird dive bomb you. It reminds me of that great Dick Van Dyke Show episode where there was a bird outside, and every time little Richie would walk outside, he was trying to take some of his hair for its nest.
Well, you brought up the meteor or maybe an asteroid. If you get hit by something like that and survive,
you sue NASA?
I was just going to say, is that who you sue?
If it's Russian, do you sue, I don't know, Sputnik?
So the question here is, if you're walking around Disney World and a bird flies into your head, your neck, your back, is now Disney World responsible for that? Really? This lawsuit says she was there, this Dixon woman, as a business invitee, and she was never warned about the dangerous conditions along the dock outside the Polynesian Village Resort. The Disney-owned resort is located right on the shores of Seven Seas Lagoon, right across the water from the Magic Kingdom and other attractions. And this woman's lawyer is saying, since she was on their property, she should have at least known or been warned that a bird could fly into her head, her neck, her back, that would give her injury and then make her require surgery. I think that's a ridiculous lawsuit.
Is there a precedent for this in that particular park? Is there? I mean, that's what paralegals would be given the task to do. Okay, get on the phone, do your research. What's the case law here? If not case law, I mean, what is the, has this happened before? Have there been complaints about this bird? You get into splitting hairs, of course, but if there have been other incidents and the park, I'm sorry to say, if they had knowledge that this particular bird could injure park goers and they didn't do anything about it, should she get a payday? Probably not.
It's like the legal story we talked about 24 hours ago, right at this time on this show yesterday, out of Canada, about the guy who lost his job because he says he was a sex addict.
I missed yesterday's show. I'm sorry.
He says he was a sex addict and he had to go into the bathroom at work and take care of himself. And he was making so much noise and other workers heard him. And when he was in the bathroom.
Well, please don't start that again. Now I remember I was here.
He lost his job because of that. Well, him and his lawyer took his employer to court saying, look, he's a sex addict. You can't blame him for being sick. And this is how he had to go handle that problem. But the arbitrator up there in Canada in the court wasn't having any of that, saying, look, I'm sorry. You can't be walking into the bathroom at work and start pleasuring yourself. And to the point where the bathroom's shaking, there's moaning and groaning and noises are being made and the toilets are flushing. And all you hear is when people are trying to work.
Like I'm trying to do right now.
They looked for precedent. There was no precedent in that case, Brewster, so I don't know if they're going to find precedent in this lawsuit out of Florida where birds are flying into people at Disney World, and now people want to sue Disney World for this. This is crazy.
Everyone's looking for a payday.
That's right.
I know I am.
That's right. All right, coming up, we're going to tell you about this guy. You talk about an idiot. You really tried robbing the same store three times in one day? I mean, it worked twice. He's thinking, why don't I go back and try for a third time? Stick around for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, I always say when we talk about the dumb criminals, I always wonder how many criminals we don't even know are criminals because they're not dumb. They're actually smart, and they never get caught. This isn't one of those guys. This guy from Michigan named Matthew Brown, he got arrested recently because he went into the same Walmart three different times on the same day and stole stuff. He got away with it the first two times. Went into Walmart, and this was in Michigan. He went into Walmart, and he went into the electronics department, and he stole some stuff. He then came back later, went into the same Walmart, went into the same electronics department, stole some more stuff. And it was the third time, later on that day, he went into the, this Walmart was in Atlanta, Michigan. I never knew that there was a town in Michigan called Atlanta. But he went into the Atlanta, Michigan Walmart and tried it again and got arrested. You would think after the first time or even the second time, he wouldn't be as dumb to try, hey, I got away with stealing from the same Walmart twice. They're not going to do anything. I went in for the third time. But they caught him on the third time. They ended up finding him at his house 40 miles away from that Walmart, and his car was still filled with all of the crap. So they didn't catch him right there, but they followed him out. They got his license plate, did all of the work, and they showed up at his house, and they arrested him. But I always wonder, I mean, you got so many criminals that are idiots like this guy. I wonder how many are out there that we don't know are criminals because they are smart. I've always wondered that. Coming up on the show, it's not a Florida man story today. It's a Florida teacher story. Some Florida teacher acting like a Florida man and a Florida woman. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, do you ride Uber or Lyft sometimes, once in a while, regularly? I do, and I'm a big fan of Uber. Although, what I'm about to tell you is why I always tip, and I always give them a 5. Stars. Always. Did you know, by the way, that Uber drivers could lose their jobs if they have an average rating of below 4.6 stars? I didn't know that, but listen to this. This is why you should always be on your best behavior when you're riding in an Uber car. Because they made an announcement yesterday. they're going to start booting writers who have a significantly below average rating. Just like when we can rate the Uber, our Uber experience on a scale from 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always give 5 stars, like I said.
I want to ask you about that, but go ahead.
Well, they rate the people who ride in their cars.
Right.
And if the people who ride in their cars have a low rating, Uber, the corporation, can eliminate them, and they can say, you are never allowed to ride in an Uber car again because you have a significantly below average rating. Now, they said when they announced this yesterday, they said they don't expect this to affect a large percentage of the people who ride Uber, but some people who ride Ubers, they're SOBs. I'm paraphrasing here. And they have a significantly below average rating. And if this happens time and time again, they're going to go and they're going to tell you, you are out of Uber. You're out. You're out of the loop. You're never allowed to ride Uber again. And that just doesn't include Uber. You're never allowed to get Uber Eats again either. if you use Uber to eat to get food delivered to where you are.
We'll starve you out.
Yes. But they made this announcement yesterday because at some point by the end of this year, Uber is going to release all of their statistics when it comes to their bad drivers. Because we know of at least 103 Uber drivers historically have been in trouble for sexual assault. And so what Uber...
Nationwide?
Yes. And Canada. United States and Canada.
Since Uber's been in existence?
That we know of.
Okay.
And Uber said, look, if we're going to release all of this information on the very, very, very small percentage of our drivers who are bad people, it's a two-way street. We're also going to crack down and we're going to keep an eye on our passengers who keep getting bad rating after bad rating after
right.
bad rating, whether it's because they smell, whether it's because they swear, or they're unruly and they're in the back seat of the car.
Right.
We're gonna get rid of you're out if you get consistently bad ratings as a rider.
Right. Well, I mean, having been an Uber driver for almost a year when I was between radio gigs, I can tell you, I've told this story before on the air, probably my worst experience as a driver was with an older lady who I picked up deep in the heart of the quarter down by the back of the, or I guess alongside the cathedral where you make the left turn there. And I can't think of the name of the street, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So a woman who is ostensibly her daughter, and it's pouring rain, puts her into the car, and she's going, I don't know, somewhere, Carrollton, wherever, somewhere. And she starts vaping in the back of the thing. And I had, you're just not supposed to do that at all. And the smoking, no vaping. And I had little signs in the back of my personal vehicle, because that's what it is with Uber. And it's like, ma'am, you can't do that. Well, I know you're not. I know it's against the rules, but just live with it. And And if it hadn't, I guess I'm getting soft-hearted in my old age. But if it hadn't been pouring rain, I would have put her out. So I mean, I made sure that she got the lowest possible passenger rating that I could give her. Now that's my worst case scenario. I'm going to ask you, Osterling. What is the worst experience you have had as an Uber rider? What's the worst experience?
Maybe the driver smelled a little bit. Other than that, the only thing I could think of was when I had a younger black woman who was cranking hip-hop in the N-word.
And you told this story.
Yeah, I told the story recently. On the radio. The N-word came up all the time, and by the end of the song, the lyrics were stuck in my head. I almost started singing with her, but I said, I'm a white guy, that wouldn't be appropriate, and I shouldn't sing that with you.
So of those two, now, here's the exit question. You gave those two drivers a 5-star rating because you said, as we started this, you always give a 5.
I think I did.
See, that's wrong. That's the equivalent of having, that's the equivalent of having bad service in a restaurant and just saying, well, I don't like to make trouble. No, restaurants want you to make trouble. If you have something bad, if your dish is cooked wrong, you know, take it up with your server. If you can't get a remedy there, take it up with the manager. They want to know those things. Don't walk out and just let the establishment think everything is fine. And I would tell you that you did the wrong thing getting out of an Uber where you had a really bad experience. Now, when I drove, it was only a number thing. I think you can actually segment what I know as a rider now, you can segment what you want to comment on, whether it's generally set up in such a way that you can make complimentary things. You can give drivers extra credit for, wow, the car smelled really nice. They had amenities. They had like mints or gum or whatever it is. They had really nice music. They had, I don't know, groovy incense and sitar music playing, whatever it is. But I think you did Uber a disservice as a regular rider. You ride it much more than I do.
Yeah.
By giving 5 stars to somebody who gave you bad service.
Here's the reason I did that. Because I want all the Uber drivers to always want to pick me up. Like, if can they see if I give them whatever the rating I give them? Oh, they can't see that.
No, they have no. In much the same way that you don't see if they didn't like you. Maybe they thought you smelled bad or they thought whatever. And they give you, as a rider, a less than favorable rating. And when I drove, it was like stars. It was one through five.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, you can't see them. They can't see you in that transaction.
Because I never want to be that person that can't get an Uber ride because, the Uber drivers have shared, hey, don't pick up this guy because this guy sucks and blah, blah, blah.
The two numerical ratings don't intermingle.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, stick with me. You'll be all right.
Well, so in wrapping this up, again, if you ride Uber like I do, be on your best behavior because they are going to start booting people. And again, they don't expect it to be a large percentage of their customers.
Right.
Probably a small percentage. And but if people get consistently low ratings, bad ratings, they're just not going to pick you up anymore. And that includes Uber Eats. They're not going to deliver the food to your house anymore. So just be careful. It's a public service message.
Right.
It's a warning because we care about you on this radio show.
It's a cautionary tale.
That's right. And coming up next, I got to get to this Florida teacher. It's not a Florida man. It's not a Florida woman. It's a Florida teacher story. Stay tuned. I'm Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Florida teacher writes, WTF is this? On students' homework. And the parent wasn't too happy. I guess this would be a Florida person story because all the crazy stuff comes out of Florida. This is a Florida teacher story, but where does this Florida teacher live? A Florida high school teacher raised eyebrows this week after writing, WTF is this? ? On a student's homework. The student's mother, Melinda Smith, isn't happy about it. And she says, how could some teacher be swearing on my child's homework? WTF is this? ? Absolutely no credit. That was written in red on the teacher's, on the student's homework at the top of the. And of course, this mother isn't happy with the teacher. See, that wouldn't bother me if this was my kid. A, I live in Florida. B, okay, so the teacher wrote WTF is this? ? Absolutely no credit. If my child got this wrong, all right, maybe I'm thinking to myself, maybe the teacher shouldn't have swore, but technically WTF, is that swearing? It's an abbreviation for a swear. And I would tell my kid, you got to study more, instead of me running to the press saying, what's going on here? Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Last week on our show, we were telling you the story about the musician who just wrote a book, and there's some controversy in there. There's an update on the story. The musician who just wrote the book is a guy named Moby. You remember him? Electronica kind of stuff. He was really big for a couple of years. He's kind of faded out of view. But he wrote a book. And in his book, he said that he dated actress Natalie Portman for a little while. Well, after that became news, Natalie Portman said, and I'm paraphrasing,
who's Moby?
Well, no, she knows who Moby is.
Oh.
She just said, no, we didn't date. When she was 18 or 19, that's when Moby was really big. And she went to one of his shows. And she's been an actress since she was a little kid. So she's been famous for most of her life. So she got a backstage pass to go be Moby.
Right. Well, we determined he was either 34 or 37 at that time when she was 18.
Yeah, he's about 20 years older than her. And so there was a picture of Moby and Natalie Portman. And so Moby said in his book that they dated for a little while. Well, then Natalie Portman said, no. She said, no, we didn't date. And what she remembered was he was like this creepy old guy who wanted something that was inappropriate that I didn't want. That's what she said.
Been there, done that.
Well, and that's the last we talked about the story, and I remember saying, who do you believe? I said, I'm definitely going to believe Natalie Portman. She went to Harvard. Harvard, Spears, pull the car up. We're going to the Moby concert, and then we're going to play polo. Spears. I said, I'm believing Natalie Portman before I believe Moby. I mean, he was a successful musician, but he also had a drug and alcohol problem, an issue. Well, we have an update to that story. Moby cancels book tour after Natalie Portman controversy. How about that? He's walking away. Yes, this is breaking news, by the way.
It's from 1968.
Moby is stepping away for a minute after apologizing to Natalie Portman regarding his new memoir and the name of his book, Then It Fell Apart. Kind of like his career. Quote, I'm going to go away for a while, he wrote on his Instagram post that went up yesterday. But before I do, I want to apologize again and to say clearly that all of this has been my own fault. Aha. He was just trying, he wanted people to think that he did sex with Natalie Portman.
You blame him?
Well, but you can't be doing that. And Natalie Portman said, slow down. I mean, look at her and look at him.
I'd rather look at her.
My God. You'd have to say, what the hell's wrong with her if she did that? But I was right. So this proves to me that Natalie Portman did not do sex with Moby.
Well, you've just unsold a lot of books for him.
Well, yeah, of course, back when he said it happened, she was 18 and he was about 20 years older than her. She said, quote, I was surprised to hear that he characterized the very short time that I knew him as dating, because my recollection is a much older man being creepy with me when I just had graduated high school. And, of course, there's that Eminem song where Eminem calls out Moby, where he says, Moby, you 36-year-old bald-headed bleep,
right.
Bleep me.
Right.
I can't say it all.
They don't write them like that anymore.
No. So now Moby, I guess he's gone at a couple of different places to sign his book.
Right.
And I guess the people that are showing up are giving him crap about lying about not doing sex with Natalie Portman.
Well, you understand. You know that book is in its third printing. The first two were smeared.
Yeah. All right, Natalie. I was right. Well, that's just about going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Ginty is next. Ginty! We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.